So, all right, Psalm 119. I'm going to speak fast, all right, tonight and get as far as I can in this part of the psalm. We are working our way through every one of these eight verse paragraphs, 22 of them that represent the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, 22 letters. We're in the fourth. So if you'll turn to Psalm 119, beginning in verse 25. And as we read the text, I want you to think with me about some things. Of course, we've established that we believe that David is the human author of this chapter. We've established that every verse in this chapter deals with his personal relationship with the Word of God. In this paragraph, I want you to listen carefully. If you listen carefully, you will hear the thump of the heartbeat of a king who asked his God for some specific things that deals with his personal life. And that's why I have entitled this message, David's Personal Request. Who in here does not have personal requests that you have been praying for, things that you've been praying about, decisions that you are faced with? We all do. There's not one person here that's not praying about something specific in your life, in your family, your personal life, with your children, your grandchildren, your work, your health, your finances. All of these things come into play. And so if we read this carefully, you can hear some specific request from David. In verse 25, he asked the biggest one. My soul cleaveth unto dust, the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. David was asking God to let him live. Look at verse 26. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. David was clear about it. Teach me thy statutes, God's laws. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. He loved God's word, and he wanted to declare the wondrous works of his God. Verse 28, my soul melteth in heaviness. Do you hear his heart? He's overwhelmed with heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Remove from me the way of lying. Now, I want to plant this thought in your mind because we might not get this far in this psalm tonight because of our time. David was not saying, Lord, help my lying. That's not what he's talking about here. And when you read this on the surface, it would be natural for us to say, well, David must have struggled with the truth. Now, there's an application in this verse of those who struggle with the truth. But David was saying, remove from me the way of lying. Those who are around me and their voices aren't telling me the truth. They are deceitful people. That's what he was saying here. And I want to disclose this very carefully when we get to this verse. And grant me thy law graciously. Lord, help me to remember that I too have lied and I need to be gracious to those who are trying to deceive me. That is the thought process that David's having here. I have chosen the way of truth. He's been decisive. He wanted to follow truth. Thy judgments, speaking about the word of God, of course, have I laid before me. I have stuck to thy testimonies. Go back up to verse 25. My soul cleaveth. It's the same Hebrew word. Stuck, cleaveth. We'll deal with that word. I have stuck. I have been glued to your testimonies. Speaking of the word of God. O Lord, put me not to shame. Lord, because I have stuck to your testimonies, I do not want to be a disgrace. I want to be able to sift between those who are around me who are deceivers and liars and in it for themselves. I'm heavy in heart. Let me live, God. I'm so heavy in heart. Let me live that I might be able to act upon your testimonies. This is the cry of his heart. This is what David was dealing with. Who among us do not find ourselves in similar situations sometimes when we are crying out to God, Lord, this is so big. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to handle this. I don't even know what is right about this. Help me get through it. Help me not be deceived by voices around me, including my own. Help me to see it. Verse 32, the last verse of the paragraph that we'll look at. I will run the way of thy commandments. David is saying, I'm not only going to believe them, I'm not only going to obey them, but I am going to run to obey them. I'm going to hasten to do right. Lord, if you let me live, I will be cautious for those who are trying to misguide me. If you'll let me live, my heart is heavy. But if you will strengthen me in my heaviness, I have chosen the right path of truth. And I want to continue choosing the right path of truth. I have stuck to your word. That's what David is saying. That's his overwhelming heart cry over and over and over again. Now notice this last phrase. It's uncanny. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. When you will expand my heart. When you will dilate my heart. Expand it and make it larger. Well, let's begin thinking this through. These requests, without a doubt, reveal that David knew his weaknesses. I want to deal with this toward the end of the second set of four verses. But oftentimes, we are intolerant of those who possess our weaknesses. We tolerate it with ourselves. Now, I want you to listen to me, okay, for just a moment. We tolerate our weaknesses when it comes to us. We give ourselves a pass, but we do not tolerate it when others. Did you know that David came to a time in his life where he said, I do not want any deceiver around me? Do you think David was ever deceptive? Do you think he ever was? Absolutely. And here is the thing I want to labor. Our weaknesses, we have to identify them and ask God to help us turn them to strengths. But we become intolerant for those who have the same weakness. And we'll see that clearly. And you see that all through the New Testament. With the gifted apostles, you see it in their life. In every one of their lives, you see it. We're all human. And we'll look at that. These verses reveal that David begs God to help him sort through those weaknesses so that he will not be caught up in believing a lie, even from his own heart, that he would not cease to live because he chooses to do wrong. David wanted to have a quality Christian life, a quality Christian leader, and he had a mess in his home. He had a mess in his kingdom. He had a mess in his own life. And yet he was begging God, Lord, help me to walk through these things. Keep me alive that I might walk through and make the right choices. I want to cling to your word. That should be our cry. David's greatest temptation as a king was to force, now listen, was to force his will on others. Strong leaders have a tendency to do that. And David, in this psalm, is trying to get a hold of that weakness, and he did not want to use his authority to exploit those in whom God gave to him. And that's why David wanted to live through these events in his life. He did not want to just end his ministry or end his family life or end his dynasty. He wanted to get through them. And this is what gives us great hope. You and I should want to be able to push through our circumstances, that we can push through them and say, God, help me to live and walk through this landmine field that could blow me up, that could blow my family up, that could blow my ministry up, my business up, my health up. Help me. I need this. That's what David was crying out for. Now, no one lived under any more pressure than King David. So if he was begging God for life and asking God to let him live, and if he was going through all of the pangs that we hear in his voice when we read these eight verses, it's impossible for us not to hear his heart. And it's impossible for us not to, from time to time, sense how he underscores God's word and the part that God's word plays in him sorting through all this. You see, when we get on a rail to do what we want to do, now the principles of God's word become secondary, and we become an exception to God's principles. We begin to explain away and deceive ourselves. And David knew that he had walked that trail. He knew that every time he got on that road, there was destruction in his life. And you never really fully recover from one broken heaviness that's unresolved biblically. You go to another one, and because you didn't fix the first one biblically, it just adds to the issue. And you become a champion at salving over your conscience, and I become the same way, as we continue to pick and choose what we're going to believe about the Bible and how God's word is really going to play a sincere part in this. You know, I've learned a long time ago, you know why people don't come and ask me for advice after a while? They already know what I'm going to say. They already know what the Bible says. Matter of fact, they could lead the counseling session better than I could. They already know. And that's when you are in danger. That's when you're vulnerable, making a bad mistake in your life. So we get to verse 25, and we see that David's request was for God to work through his life. He wanted to live. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken, underscore that word, quicken thou me according to thy word. Now, I want us to consider the four thinking points of this verse. First of all, would you consider with me his life? It's mentioned in the first two words. My soul cleaveth. This word soul, it refers to the breathing person of David. It refers to his life. It doesn't refer to that part that is spirited soul that's going to go be with the Lord when he dies. That's not what it's talking about here. It's talking about his very life and all of the difficulties that surrounded his life at that moment. And he was filled full of heaviness. We know that he was at a critical point in his life. So he was asking God, as a breathing creature that God created in his image, Lord, let me live. It involves what is going on in the physical realm of life. It involves what is happening in his mind and how he's thinking through his decisions. And then it's connected to his emotions. David was a very emotional leader. You cannot read about this man and not think he doesn't have emotions. He's not a quiet-spirited plotter. He's a loud leader. He's colorful. I didn't say that he was proud and arrogant, but he was colorful in his personality. And he knew that. And he was asking God for his life. Now notice secondly in this verse, if you would, his lament. Notice his emotions. He said, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. This implies some sort of approaching danger or apprehension that threatened his life. He had something that was going on that was going to threaten his position as king or his position as a husband. And you got to remember, he had more than one wife. His children, several children by several different wives. He was afraid of death. He was afraid that it was going to be imminent. And he didn't want that. He was asking God, I don't want to die prematurely. I want to live my life. I want to have a fulfilled life as a leader and as a father and as a king. So his soul cleaveth unto the dust. And the word cleaveth means to be glued to stick fast. It has the sense of adhering firmly to the Lord and his word so that it cannot be easily separated from him. It really means to wrap your arms around and cling. It means to cling to one another. Years ago, when I was just 10, 11 years old, I went to the state fair with my friend Harold. That's back when it was safe for children to go on school day, Monday. We decided to ride the horror ride. That was a bad deal. We get in this little electric car and you go through these doors and they close and it's pitch black dark. How many of you have been on it? Been on that? And the car kind of rides rough and it turns you to the left and turns you to the right. And all of a sudden a bright light comes on and here's this lady with her head cut off and blood's running out of her neck into a hopper. And here's a 10, 11-year-old kid. The man who invented that needs his head examined. And we went to another station and to another station and I was petrified. And the guy who owned this ride, he was not right at all. He had some mental problems. Because in the dark part, right before you go through, he hung strands of burlap down from the roof. And you can't see it. So you see this flash and you see this horrible scene, and then you straighten up. And then as you get ready, right before you go out, you feel this stuff going over your face. It's enough to give a kid a heart attack. When Harold and I came through those doors into the light, we were embraced. We were clinging to one another. We were doing exactly what it says to embrace, to cleave. Notice he was cleaving to the dust. It's a reference to death and the grave. David was saying, death is ever on my mind and always before me. I do not want to die. I really do not want to die. I want to live and work my way through this. And that should be our desire. So we see his life. I said there are four snapshots here. We see his lament in verse 25. Would you see with me in the C part of this verse, his longing? His longing was, quicken thou me. Quicken, the word means to live. Literally means to revive, to nourish up, to preserve, to recover, to restore to life, to save physically my life, to save spiritually my life. It literally means to be made whole. In the context, here David was using a word to let God know he wants to live physically. And spiritually, he wanted to live right before the Lord. He did not want to abuse his authority. He did not want to exploit his authority and give people ultimatums. His family or the leaders of his nation or the people of Israel. What was he really after? He was really after a revival in his heart. God, I need you. I want to tell you something. Listen, if you're going through a hard time, if you've got a difficult decision, if you're in the throes of making a life choice, I want to tell you something. You better walk with God through that, and you better listen to his word. You better be in his word, and you better not be depending upon some book to help you, or for some preacher to help you, or for some message to help you. Listen, when you are in the throes where your life is in jeopardy, you better be in God's word. That's the best place you're going to be. And I want to tell you something. The Spirit of God who wrote this book that lives inside of you will not lead you to go contrary to this book. And if your choice is contrary to this book, guess who is wrong? God is not. We are the one that is wrong. That's why David hated deception. And self-deception is the worst deception that ever could happen to any of us. It's a difficult thing. But when you come down to it, it's about David wanting revival in his heart because he knew he had some very difficult choices to make, and he knew that his life and these choices would affect his life and the life of many others. And his heart was heavy about it. The idea was that he wanted to be restored. He wanted God to save him. I'm not talking about save him by faith. He wanted God to save his life. He wanted God to save him from making a wrong choice. He wanted God to intervene. He wanted peace. He wanted joy. He wanted hope. He wanted to get rid of the turmoil and the anxiety. And many times in David's life when he was going to have to do that, you know what he had to do? He had to crawl off of his high horse and his exploitation of others and remind himself how deceptive he is. Quickly, can I show you the last one? And that is his love for God's word. According to thy word. David was reflecting on the promises of God made to come to the aid of his people when they were in distress. On one occasion, he says, arise for our help and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. So who among us would be without suffering and sorrow, difficult decisions and hard family times? We all have them. It's our response to it that'll make whether or not we really walk with God. And I want to tell you something. If you make the wrong decision, you can justify it all you want, but godly people is going to know you made a sinful, wicked, godless, against the word of God choice in your life, no matter how much you justify it. It's not right. And wrong is never right in God's eyes, ever. So we have to ask God to let us live and work through these things. Would you stand with me, please?